There is a story in Reader's Digest where a man wrote in who had a brother named Peter that went to the University of Minnesota. His brother had a friend who was an art major, and he took this class, and one of his assignments was to paint a real-life portrait. So he asked Peter to be his model. He painted the portrait, he turned it in, and he got a grade for a C minus. So he went to his art instructor and he asked, "Why did I get such a poor grade?" And the instructor said, "Because your proportions were totally outrageous. The head is too big, the shoulders are too wide, the feet are enormous." So he went and he got Peter and he brought him back to class the next morning, and the teacher looked at him and said, "Okay, I'll give you an A minus." And the moral is, if you're going to paint a good picture, you have to include the flaws. So when the Bible tells us these stories about people who heard a call from God, it doesn't shy away from the people who heard a call and didn't respond like they were supposed to. An honest study of calling has got to include those times when God got a bad connection. And you know you are reading about a bad connection when you read about a prophet defection. So let's look together at the first three verses of the book of Jonah. Jonah, beginning in verse 1, Jonah 1 says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, 'Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord." But Jonah ran away. Now understand that God had every right to send Jonah to Nineveh, because his claim on his servant is absolute. Fundamental to the job description of a prophet is that you go and you take the word of the Lord wherever God wants to send it. But Jonah would rather resign his prophetic office than resign to the will of the Lord. Now, when he says he is running away from the Lord, I don't think Jonah thought that he could actually go to some place in the world where God was not still the Lord. He wasn't running so much from the presence of the Lord as he was running from the will of the Lord. You see, up to this point, no prophet of God, this is before the exile, no prophet has ever gotten a call to go outside of Israel. So Jonah thinks if he gets away from here, then he can't use him, because he thought that God would not call him long distance. Now, what on earth would cause such a bad connection between God and one of his prophets? Well, I would argue that Jonah gave God the stiff arm for the same reason you and I do this to God, because he thought he knew better than God what was best. He didn't think it was a good idea to go to Nineveh. Now, if you've read the rest of the book, you know what happens. He gets out of the fish and he does go to Nineveh. He does preach. The city repents and God decides not to destroy Nineveh. But listen to Jonah's reaction when that happens. "But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, 'Oh Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That's why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity.'" You see, Jonah realized that God's judgment declared was Nineveh's opportunity to be spared. He knew his God. He knew the character and the heart of his God. And he knew that wherever God is he knew that wherever God sees repenting, God is going to then become relenting of sending judgment. And Jonah did not want Nineveh to be spared. This was particularly true in view of the fact that his own nation was living wickedly. His own people were not responding to prophetic warning. So if Nineveh has a revival, and if God's favor is on Nineveh, what does that mean for Israel? And so Jonah decides, I know better than God what is best for my own country. That's because he was an ardent nationalist, and he's not the first, sadly. He's not the last, also, to confuse that loving your country equals loving God. Those are not the same things. You are to love God more than you love your country. And Jonah was not willing to do that. He wanted no part of a call that he did not perceive was in the nation's best interest. So he chose to be a renegade. And I think that's a choice that every one of us have made at least once in our lives. But here's what I want you to understand. You can run from the call, but you cannot outrun the caller. You never get a long distance call from God because you can't go anywhere where it is long distance to God. So let's read what happens in the rest of this chapter. Picking up in verse 4 of Jonah chapter 1, it says, "Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, 'How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us and we will not perish.' Then the sailors said to each other, 'Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity.' They cast lots and the lot fell to Jonah. So they asked him, 'Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?' He answered, 'I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land.' Well, this terrified them, and they asked, 'What have you done?' They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, 'What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? Pick me up and throw me into the sea,' he replied, 'and it will become calm. I know it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you.' Instead, the men did their best to row back to the land, but they couldn't, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, 'O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, O Lord, have done as you pleased.' And they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights." Ever since the Garden of Eden, we've been trying this totally failed tactic of thinking that we can run away from God. You know the story. God said to Adam, "I don't want you to eat the forbidden fruit." And Adam said, "Forbidden fruit? Eve, did you know that we have forbidden fruit?" She said, "No way." He said, "Yes way." God said, "Don't eat the fruit." Why? "Because I'm your father and I said so." So a little later, God comes back and there's Adam and Eve and they're eating the forbidden fruit. "Didn't I tell you not to eat the forbidden fruit?" Adam said, "She started it." Eve said, "He started it." God said, "Be quiet." And as punishment, as you know, God gave them kids of their own. And we've been trying the same thing ever since. But you never run from God and wind up in a better place. Listen to me, church. You cannot outrun a call from God. Did you notice the irony? God says, Jonah, I want you to go preach to pagans. Jonah said, I'm not going to preach to pagans. So he runs the other way. And what does he wind up doing on the boat? Preaching to pagans. And they wind up finding the Lord. You see, this story is not recorded to ask the question, can a man live inside a fish? It's recorded to say that when you get a call from God, don't be like Jonah. Make sure that you're getting a good connection. And to do that, we need to have three things. First, the connection between being an object and an agent of God's mercy. Jonah's angry that God will not put discriminatory limits on his grace. Jonah wants God's grace to go so far, but no further. By the way, the Pharisees were constantly angry with Jesus for the exact same reason. You see, Jonah is the Old Testament version of the elder brother in Luke 15 that doesn't want the father to be good to the younger son. And at the root of his anger is a double standard. He's perfectly willing for God to give him mercy, but he doesn't want to be an agent of mercy. After all, he thinks to himself, those people in Nineveh, they don't deserve the grace of God. Which, by the way, is the ultimate oxymoron. If you were deserving of grace, it would not be grace. I love the lyrics to the song. Everyone needs compassion. Everyone needs forgiveness. The kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. God's grace is the hope of the Iraqis. God's grace is the hope of the Israelis. It is the hope of Mexico. And it is the hope of every single one of us in this room. And the ability to see that connection is critical to the matter of calling. Because the sense of how you think God has dealt with you will absolutely impact the way you feel when He calls you to go to somebody else. And you are going to fight that call until you are convicted to your core that it is only by sheer unadulterated grace that I have any right to stand before God at all. How can you run away from a God who has never run out of mercy for you? So look with me at one of the great verses of the Old Testament. Micah chapter 6 verse 8 says, He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. That verse does not say to tolerate mercy. It doesn't say to like mercy. It says to love mercy. When you get a chance to show mercy, God wants you to love that. Jesus said that life is going to be full of really difficult people. People who do not deserve your kindness. And here's what you are to do. He said in Luke 6, love your enemies. Do good to them. And lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. And if you are not, you are going to wind up just like Jonah. Mercy misers typically make a shipwreck of their lives. By the way, that is another connection that I want you to see, the connection between disobedience and the storms that follow. Now, let me make a very quick point. If you want to run from God, the devil is going to always make sure that there is a boat waiting for you to get on. I guarantee you that. You want to run away from your marriage? You want to run away from your values? You want to run away from your call or your ministry? I guarantee the devil is going to make sure that there is a boat for you to get on. And for the first few moments, it's going to be smooth sailing. But don't you dare interpret the fact that for the few moments of smooth sailing, that's proof that God is okay with what you're doing. The devil will always provide you a ride, but you are going to have to pay the fare. God may delay his discipline, but he will not deny it. Because let me tell you something that you can choose to do. You can choose to miss the call, but you cannot mock the caller. Those sailors knew something was up. They were not very far from land. If they were, they wouldn't have tried to row back. They were very early in this journey when the storm came up that they did not even see coming. And these guys, they knew storms. They knew sailing. And they knew right off the bat, this is no normal storm. They knew this was a supernatural storm. Somebody has ticked off a god. God was sending Jonah a wake-up call. And Jonah could have ended the threat immediately. All he had to do was repent. There was a different plan. He could have repented before God and said, "Guys, I need to go to Nineveh. Turn this boat around." That storm would have stopped and he could have been on his way. But he was so stubborn, he would rather put a crew of compassionate pagans at risk than obey the call of God. By the way, real important side point here. Every time you run from a call of God, you are affecting somebody else. One of the most putrid lies Satan will ever tell you is that if you are going to sin in secret and nobody else knows about it, you're not hurting anybody. That is a lie. Your disobedience to the call of God has put your life, the call of God that God has put on your life, is always hurting somebody, whether they know about it or not. And maybe you've got a storm in your life right now. Maybe that is God's wake-up call to you, because you need to understand also the connection between God's discipline and his pursuing grace. Only one person in this story runs more than Jonah, and it's God. God is pursuing Nineveh. God is pursuing the sailors on the boat. God is pursuing his rebellious prophet, even to the extent of sending a fishogram. That fish was not sent to kill Jonah. It was sent to save him. And understand that God was not pursuing Jonah to pay him back. He was pursuing Jonah to bring him back. It's the same reason that he pursues you right now. Some years ago in California, a guy steals a car. That's really no big deal because it happens hundreds of times a day. But this time, all over the state, radio stations started announcing the license plate of that car. Why? Because the owner of the car had put a box of crackers on the passenger seat that he had laced with rat poison to deal with a rat problem that he had at one of his properties. The man that stole the car did not know that those crackers right next to him would kill him if he ate them. So all over the state, people are looking for this car. Everybody's trying to chase him, not to punish him, but to save him. That's one reason that God sends storms. You see, this is not a story about a great fish. It's a story about a great God. And the miracle in this story is that his heart is so big that even after we run and treat him the way that we do, he still chooses to drown us in his mercy and grace. And how will we respond? And the point of the book is, not like Jonah. If you and God have a bad connection right now, do something about it. Ask yourself two important questions. This is how you start. First, where do I run to escape God's call? We have all tried the long distance thing with God, haven't we? Where do you run when you don't want to do what God wants you to do? Some people run to sex or porn. Some people run to drugs or alcohol. Some people run to work. Some people run to sports. Some people run to church. You heard me. Church is a popular place to run to escape the call of God. You have a burden on your heart. You know what it is that God wants you to do, and it will take you out of your comfort zone, and you don't want to go there, so you just go to a Bible study instead. And you try to block that call. There is no refuge from a pursuing God. There is only refuge in Him. And that's good news. And for some of you, that's a wake-up call. Where do you run when you want to get away from a call of God? And the next question, who is my Ninevite? You see, you would be wrong, I think, to read the book of Jonah and think the point of that is that God loves everybody. No. The point is, we know God loves everybody and we still don't care. We know God loves everybody, including people nothing like us. And we don't want to do anything about it. That's the point. God has a heart for the people that we want to hate. We just ignore those folks. And we never pray for them. And listen, it's not because they are so good. It's because He is. And once you see God like that, it changes how you see everybody. In 2010, Sandra Bullock won an Academy Award for Best Actress in a Leading Role in her performance as Leanne Toohey in the movie The Blind Side. That's a wonderful movie, by the way, if you have never seen it. Leanne Toohey's husband, Sean, was at a fundraiser talking about the day that they first brought Michael Orr into their home. In the movie, it happened at night, but it actually happened in the morning. They were driving in their car as a family in their nice, safe, sheltered, protected life. And they drive past on a cold, rainy November day, a black man who was a child in shorts and a t-shirt on the side of the road because he's got nowhere to go. And Sean Toohey said, my wife said two words that changed everything. He said the two words were turn around. I think that that's the message of the book of Jonah. Turn around and go where I told you to go. Leave your comfort zone. Go to Nineveh. Who is your Ninevite? Maybe your Nineveh is just one cubicle over from you. Maybe your Nineveh is right upstairs in our nursery. Maybe your Nineveh is answering the call to serve God in a different way here in this church. You have a Nineveh in your life, and it is no accident. And it is time that you made the connection.